I do think we deliver our listeners psychic damage sometimes, but like differently.
Yeah. Very differently. It's unusual different. Psychic damage. Psychic yeah. damage they're surprised by.
They yeah. can't get it anywhere else.
No.
A no facts, all feelings wrestling podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
I'm Leah.
Oh my God.
We were just talking about Leah and Ann's experience of walking themselves while I was gone. And I guess apparently got kind of tangled up in my head about what we're doing here. It is a podcast. It is a podcast that we do. It's called Tunnel Talk. No facts, all feelings, a lot of them this week. How are you guys doing? I missed you while I was gone.
We missed you so much.
I think the viewers resoundingly said that me and Anne were capable. We were in charge. And they said, some may say, better than Moses.
They did say things like, coo her, get rid of her. That bitch doesn't even like Hangman. Get her off the show.
Leah's episode maybe got a record number of downloads, actually.
You know what? I celebrate my co-host's accomplishments. I hope that nobody is too, at the very least, I hope you're not too disappointed that I'm back. Because I missed talking to my friends, so you have to let me do it. And I missed addressing my public. And we should point out, too, that our beloved producer, Marjorie, is also back in the studio this week. So for us, I know that you don't often get to hear her. It's a real treat when you do. But for us, this is a very exciting kind of a reunification
of the
pod. Yeah. Full house.
I haven't had a full house in a full month, and it was... terrible. Yeah.
Everybody's back from injury. It's going to be a good show.
What could go wrong once everyone comes back from injury? You know, you're like, Rampage is going to be better now.
You're friends with Scott Colton, right?
Who? No, we used to do improv together, but I wouldn't say we're friends. No.
Guys, it's been a fucking crazy week. You know why. We'll get to it in a minute. I was on my way back from Australia while this was all happening, and it was like a comedy ride where literally in the middle of like CM Punk is at the presser losing his mind, and I'm like on Twitter in the hotel. We were staying at the airport hotel the night before. I'm like at the hotel being like, holy shit, this is in the afternoon. My mother on the bed next to me starts going, fuck, fuck, fuck. And I was like, what is happening? Is she looking at the CM Punk scrum too? But it was that all, like, one of our major flight had been delayed by 12 hours, impacting our other flights. So she's like trying to get me to focus on that, where she's like losing it, like, we've got to get home from Australia. And I'm like, yeah, totally. I'm on Twitter. Like, I'm kind of on Twitter because it's like, it's pretty big deal. It's like maybe bigger than the getting home from Australia thing, actually.
That's kind of been my vibe all week, really. Yeah, and my friend Jeff was texting me on Monday about it and very sweetly said that we should do an emergency podcast, which I was very flattered by, but also felt...
I wish, Jeff.
Yeah, not emotionally equipped to do, but I was like, oh, but, you know, Ollie's also, like, still in Australia and flying back. And he was like, oh, so she's learning all this via Kookaburra.
You were just telling me little facts. Like, a piercing little bird voice is kind of how I felt like a lot of that CM Punk news should have been relayed to me. There's just like a long 14-hour stretch in there where I'm on an international flight and like can't check my phone. My mother thinks I'm a technology addict, which I am, but like not to the degree that she thinks I am, because I'm like getting off these flights like, refresh Twitter, refresh Twitter, refresh Twitter.
There was such a period of like news coming out every 20 minutes pretty much that I like really got real adrenaline rush. It's been hard to come down from.
It's been rough. But hey, we're all going to work through it together.
Oh yeah.
One way or another. And there also was a, hey guys, did you, there was a pay-per-view?
Was there?
That's what I hear. I haven't watched it.
I believe you told us that you hadn't watched it, and I tried to convince you to watch it. And the thing is that like, I still don't know if I can make it clear what a fucking normal podcast, pay-per-view it was. Yeah. Like, it was so normal. Like, nothing. Like, it was either enjoyable or it was boring. But, like, nothing.
Just
nothing
totally
happened.
Normal.
I, like, honest to God, if you, if what happened didn't happen, I don't know what we would be talking about. Like, you know, like,
yeah, just like, it'd just be like, yeah, that match was fine.
It'd be like a 40-minute episode on the Acclaimed.
Well, we'd be saying things like, Tony, you've got to up the drama. Tony, there's not enough drama. Is this TNT? No, it's not. It's usually TBS, but is this TNT or not? No drama.
Tony peered into the future. He saw our complaints.
He came back. Yikes. He said, yeah, I'll sit here and watch some drama happen and do nothing to stop it.
I love the idea of all the wishes that we've made to Tony. He picks that one to grant.
That's kind of his MO, yeah.
Well, it's kind of his classic monkey's paw. I mean, it's not that loves different from some of his other moves. Okay. Well, I think I was going to say something else, but it's gone from my head. So we are getting into it. And, oh, I think I should say, for comedy purposes, I'm going to be hosting you. Hey, I'm your host. I'm happy to be back. I'm going to lead these girls through the events of the past week. I have not seen all the events. I saw Dynamite and I saw clips from the scrum. And I've seen Twitter quite a bit, but I have not watched the pay-per-view. Oh, I was going to say that, Leah, I fully believe you. Like, I actually fully get what you're saying. And I'm just like, I can't focus on that. You want me to watch the trios title match? Like, yeah, just watch it normal, knowing what happens and what has happened on Dynamite this week. You want me to just watch it like normal and be like, great match. Loved it.
It was very funny because you and one of our other friends who hadn't seen it, like, she kept being like, what happened last night? And it's like, everything was fine until like 12:30. Like, I went to bed. I didn't know, you know?
Yeah. Almost everybody in our group chat was asleep. I think it was like me, Allie, and like, I don't know, Jenna, I think maybe. And like, nobody was awake. And I kept wanting to text people and being like, I have to talk to somebody.
It's been interesting. Anyway, so I'm just Leah champion, and both Leah and Anne did a great job. They made our schedules while I was gone. Leah made the schedule for me. I'm going to lead us through it. I'm going to be saying things to you that I'll have questions about.
And so, viewers, when we get to the section where Allie describes how Marco Stunt returned to join the baddies, we all saw that. Just let Allie talk to us about it.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait to, one of my favorite parts of the pay-per-view. So I can't wait to discuss it. Okay, babies, all my babies. CM Punk defeated John Moxley for the world title at the pay-per-view, which we all know. It was the main event of the night. Punk wore white long boys. We won't be discussing them at this time, Leah. That is not going to be coming into the conversation.
But I just had, like, I had a joke lined up about people bleeding on white pants and thinking it looks cool. But I would say, like, that, like, little joke has been kind of overshadowed by other things.
That little joke is probably like the most important thing that CM Punk destroyed after the pay-per-view. Would you say so?
I agree.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Me and Scott Colton have been wronged.
I pretty much equally, which, we all agree. It was a Chicago crowd, which should have meant that Punk was getting cheered like crazy. But Leah tells me that the crowd was pretty evenly split between Mox and Punk, true or false?
That's what I heard. I mean, there was a dueling Mox and Punk chant. I think that Mox got a lot of people with that Dynamite promo where he was like, I'm sorry that Punk isn't the person that you thought he was.
Really? Yeah, and people. I did watch some of
that. It definitely sounded 50-50 on TV. I was listening to, on a endless quest for gossip, one of the ones I think Leah that Sarah linked you to, mm-hmm. listened to it, and they were in the building. They said in the building it seemed more like 30% Mox, 70 Punk. So, I mean, okay. I don't know if that's accurate too.
And so to be clear, so were these both Dynamite promos before the pay-per-view, that Mox being like, I'm sorry he's a weak-skinned peach of a man and not a man that should be respected. And Punk saying he was doing this for first responders. Am I reading this right?
He said that was Rampage.
That was in Rampage.
They played it again during the pay-per-view too. It was a very funny.
Doing what, wrestling for first responders?
Yeah, he said this match is for the Chicago first responders, for the teacher of the year, for that sweet caffeine I get at whatever local coffee joint. It had a very weird energy. It was very, like, teeth gritted, like, I'm a nice guy. It came across so weird. I remember being like, this guy doesn't know like how to pretend to be a good person.
One of the craziest parts of this whole conversation about the thing we haven't gotten to yet is that it, amidst all the discourse on Twitter, one of the things that's coming up a lot in the way that people are talking about Punk is that they're saying, you know, like, well, he's been a heel or he's been a face this whole time. Like, Punk is a face. He's jealous of this other person for being a bigger face. Like, but all of this stuff. Where we, of course, on this podcast have all been saying, like, he's heel turning. And I got so crazy feeling that I went to Cage Match and was looking at, like, all the feuds that he's had and was being like, but he only has feuds, not only, but he feuded with Eddie. Mm-hmm. I'm like, of course, Eddie is a bad boy with a big mouth. He's our darling son. Of course, he's a face. He feuded with Hangman. Mm-hmm. He feuded with Mox. I'm like, these are really big faces, and yeah. They all, I know the crowd cheered for Punk, but in terms of the content of the promos, they all did better and clearer face work than Punk in every single one of those interactions. So I've become more confused than ever, both about what Punk is or was doing with his character of a psychopath.
Yeah. And actually, like,
and
I got on
other people think he was doing.
Yeah. Well, I had gotten on Reddit like maybe the week before the pay-per-view or maybe 2 weeks before, and I was kind of reading, and there were a few people making posts that were like, stay with me, Galaxy Brain. What if Punk has been a heel this whole time? And they like laid out all the evidence. And I was like, yeah, like that's what we've been saying. And they're like, we've been cheering for him, but he's been doing bad things. It's like, yeah. So anyway, so even the men were starting to catch on to somebody being bad news.
And it only took a man losing his fucking mind live on Tony Khan television.
It paid off. I mean, they said this like before the scrum, to be clear. Like this was before pre-pay-per-view people were starting to put it together. But it is true. Wow. Like, I mean, the stuff that like Eddie said, that Mox said about Punk in those promos was very like, you're a hypocrite. You're fake to all these people. Like, I know the real you. You're bad. And then his promos back were basically like, Eddie, you're a fat failure. You know, like, it's like, that's not face stuff. Yeah.
That's
like,
mean.
Yeah. That's heel stuff. That's MJF stuff. Yeah.
Right. I mean, yeah, we can't get into what he shouted at that man. That rando in Chicago. Okay. Also on the pay-per-view, MJF came back from his 3-month break. So he came out, I believe, at the end of the casino ladder match as a masked man with Stokely Hathaway's crew that he's been like assembling over the past few months. So a lot of speculation as the pay-per-view is going on. Who is the masked man? Everyone's like, it's MJF. I thought, you know, it was really good. Having watched some of the clips of him in that outfit, and like it was a great outfit for MJF, and it was great to just be like, yeah, that's the MJF walk, but it's like a perfect mask for him where like you don't know, but
killer. Right. I thought the mask was so well done. They played Sympathy for the Devil, which is like a big money move, and it was perfect. Like everything about his mannerisms, like it was like A plus work.
Tony spent all that money on Sympathy for the Devil and no one's even talking about the pay-per-view.
I came into the pay-per-view like not that enthused too, but this was like the first match and it really grabbed me. So I was like, yeah, things are like getting in here. So
yeah.
Anyway,
and then what happened at the end after?
So Punk's like holding up the belt,
yeah.
And then MJF comes out, like there's like a blackout, and then he comes out like as himself with his face, like the mask. He takes it off, right?
I think there's a video package of like him from behind.
The voicemail first, right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh my
god,
I forgot.
Right.
Yep.
they played a voicemail from Tony Khan being like, MJF, you have to come back. You have to come back. If you're the Joker, I'll pay you more and I'll do this and I'll do that. And there was like all this stuff. And it was like a perfect little moment because his voice
funny,
was very high and stressed.
Classic Tony Khan. Yeah.
But then, yes, he comes out. He takes off the mask. He comes like to the mouth of the ramp and then does like the belt
move. The Punk belt move.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Which Punk had done to Hangman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Punk's like holding it aloft, and then the crowd starts chanting MJF over and over again.
And it was big chant.
Big chant. I mean, like they cheered big when MJF first came out, but then it was like a really, like that was the point where I think you'd like anticipate like more a chant for the babyface holding the belt than.
Yeah. But, you know, but they, as we've discussed quite a bit, they had to know he was going to get the chance. There's a reason. Yeah. You don't set him up to get the chance at a moment when he's kind of not supposed to for the overarching narrative. Again, what if Punk was a heel the whole time? Huh? What if he was doing bad stuff the whole time? Imagine if that were the case. Imagine. So the other thing that I will just mention here that I know that we now know is that early in the match, I believe Punk injured himself. So I think people mm-hmm. were saying they did say that, see that fairly early in the match. They were wondering if that had happened. We now know that Punk tore his pec or something.
Tricep.
He tore a muscle and he's going to be... he's going to be healing from that one way or another for the next 6 to 9 months. So that is the mood in which we enter the post-PPV press scrum. Ever heard of it?
He's just beaten Moxley clean for the belt.
Oh, that's right. And this was someone said this was the first time Moxley has been beaten clean at AEW, which I would not have get. You have to give it to Mox that it's like, he's so powerful, but in a way where it's like, I have never felt that pressure that we've talked about on this podcast with like Punk and Danielson, where it's like, who's going to beat them? Like they have that like unbeatable quality. Like, I know this sounds like I'm saying it in a mean way, but I'm not. I'm just like, Mox loves to fight. And it would never have occurred to me to think that hard mm-hmm. about when he has lost mm-hmm. because he wants to win, but he doesn't want it in a way that's messed up.
It's not about externals for him. Like, he just wants to have a good fight. If he has a good fight and he loses, he's fine. Like, it doesn't matter to him particularly if he has the belt or anything. It's the vibe completely.
So that had never occurred to me, but I did read that it was his first clean loss at AEW. So someone's going to be like, that's not true. Whatever.
No, it came up in the media scrum and CM Punk was also surprised to hear it. I did watch the entire thing. So,
Oh, great. And he probably had a great attitude about it. So CM Punk showed up eating a muffin from Mindy's in Chicago.
It's closed on Mondays and Tuesdays, but yeah.
Yeah, it's closed on Mondays and Tuesdays, so don't try. So the plan was that he was going to talk, then Swerve in Our Glory was going to talk, then Tony Storm, then Kenny, Matt, and Nick for winning the first Trios belts, which we'll talk about later. But before anybody could ask a question, Punk singled out a member of the media to launch a rant about Colt Cabana, media irresponsibility, and reporting on baseless gossip spread by the EVPs.
I think he literally said he was concerned about ethics and journalism, which is like a real red flag kind
it's
of word
not
for
just
a white
red,
man
it's
to
not just
say.
A red flag, it's a literal dog whistle.
It's like, you know, if you're coming in here being like, I'm just here to defend myself.
Like, I'm like, isn't that Gamergate talk?
It's 100% Gamergate, yeah. Someone with a personal beef saying that they're here concerned about ethics and journalism is exactly Gamergate, so.
Okay. This was the craziest part. Like, so he called Hangman an empty-headed dumb fuck. And when I read this, on Twitter, glued to my screen, my brain immediately was just like, a bimbo? He called Hangman Adam Page a fucking bimbo, and that's been on repeat in my head since it happened. Like, I'm just like, he called him a bimbo. He called him a slutty bimbo.
So much of his rant was about Hangman. It was really incredible. I mean, really, we talked about this in past episodes where, Leah, you said, like, he's the Sandra Dee of AEW, but it's like, of all the people to try to convince is, like, a lion snake to me. Like, I feel like you could do it about, you know, some people at AEW, but like Hangman, I'm like, I don't think that's right.
Yeah.
All I could think of when I listened to him call Hangman a bimbo was just picturing that the picture.
I love that you've
Silver.
Now you've internalized it. You're like, he said bimbo.
Oh yeah, no, he did say absolutely. Bimbo. That is I've definitely have internalized it. That picture of Hangman like looking alarmed while eating the Silver person. I just picture that all the time. Bimbo?
Hangman, Hangman was apparently like at the airport already, so he missed all of this stuff, but he must have been getting the most insane text messages. Like,
honest to God, can you imagine? He's sitting at his gate. He's got his head down, sunglasses on, trying to avoid creep fans. He's just thinking about getting home, wants to see his baby. All of a sudden, his phone buzzes. CM Punk called you a bimbo.
CM Punk called you a bimbo at the press.
He said you're the sluttiest girl in school.
CM Punk says you've blown every guy at AEW under the what's it? Bleachers. Hey, y'all heard of them? Bleachers.
Unbelievable.
Crazy. Tony Khan, so I will say this. When I was just reading the reactions on Twitter, I thought everyone's vibe was like, Tony is loving. Tony is chill with this. Tony is doing fine. Look, do I think that Tony should have sat there while this was happening for the whole time it was happening, which was quite a while? No. I personally don't.
You don't think that while your star trashes your EVPs, one of your major stars, all his coworkers, like while, your company,
while you sit there impotently? The EVPs never did anything when what they did was build the literal company build you're representing. Company.
When he's talking about the world title holders of your company, yeah.
Yeah, I guess maybe I think he should have done something, yeah, but... I will say that when I watched the video, parts of it, it was quite uncomfortable to watch. Tony does look like he is descending through every layer of hell. Like, I mean, he looks like he's, like, trying to astral project out of his body, and, like, a hand keeps coming out of his own chest and, like, jerking him back in. Like, you stay in here and you listen to what's happening.
It was crazy watching the whole thing because he so clearly was, like, in a... Like, he's just clearly, like, a people-pleaser kind of person. So, like, there were points when CM Punk was saying things that are, like, unrelated to, like, ranting about his personal beef with Colt Cabana or whatever, where he'd like nod and try to smile and try to like redirect, but then there were other times where he just like was actively wincing or like making faces like, oh god, like how is this happening? It was
disassociating.
But really, like, I mean, you know, whatever, he's like a 37-year-old wrestling fan who like has, you know, doesn't like, run things, but it's like there is a point where you should have said, okay, I think that we've heard enough from CM Punk. He's very tired. Like, let's get you back, you know?
I do understand, like, the desire to, like, you don't want to handle any part of it in front of the press, really, which is kind of why it's, like, so, in my opinion, like, damning and fucked up that CM Punk was like, yeah, I'll wait till I'm on a hot mic in a situation where no one's going to shut me the fuck up, and then I'm just going to go wild. And I'm going to say shit that is going to cause like, so much... problem.
Give it a vibe people. Like maybe I would punch anyone who comes close to me at this moment too.
So it's clear
while like, this muffin eating, also the vibes were so insane. He was so angry and he was so intently eating this muffin at the same time. It's like just never seen like anyone do it.
It's kind of you know that thing about like glasses acting. It's kind of like a muffin acting thing, like a method acting thing, where it's like you need a prop. You need a prop so people can really like see the difference between how you're treating the muffin and how you're speaking. It's like that's all. It's like it's a method.
It was, but also like he was eating that muffin like he was so hungry. And one of our friends in our group chat was like, "Do you think that all of this could have been avoided if someone had given CM Punk a Snickers like an hour ago?" And you're not yourself when you're hungry.
He did finish the muffin and start some other kind of pastry afterwards. So, you know, that really could be. Yeah, and it was crazy too because like he talked so much about Colt Cabana and all the Colt Cabana rumors and whatever. And it's like, I'm not saying that the Colt Cabana rumors weren't out there, but I don't think anyone really cared that much. But he like put such a spotlight on them. Like I think the locker room cared. But
the locker room cared.
The general public, I don't know that they cared very much. And I don't know that anyone was thinking about it in this circumstance, you know? Like, I don't think anyone had connected Hangman's original promo that pissed him off so much to the Colt Cabana thing because it happened quite a bit before that came out. So,
yeah. I mean, I think I'm kind of quoting you here, Anne, I think, but it's like, it was very much like his whole. If you're talking, well, I'm not quoting anybody because I'm not talking coherently, but it's like, it is not that compelling, I will say, or convincing to be like, I would never give a shit about whether Colt Cabana got fired. But if he got fired, oh my God, the part where he's saying something and then Tony goes, I said that. I said that you didn't tell me shit.
I know. I said it in Forbes and I should have shut this down right here. I'm so sorry. And then he said, it's okay. We're all still learning here, Tony. It was just like, oh my God.
Oh my God. And we have to quote our favorite line. I'm trying to run a business here.
It
was.
Hangman jeopardized the first $1 million gate. It's like, what are you even talking
and that
about?
Was, so he was talking about, that. Was he talking about that rumor that he was like, I'm not going to show up at Dynamite?
I think he must have been because I don't know what else he could mean.
It was crazy. I feel like, I know that people are talking about it, but I'm like, I actually feel like it's getting underplayed, like how, what fucking insane behavior this was. And like, again, I think I didn't even finish this point. Like, I can understand why Tony Khan was in the position of being like, I don't want to handle any part of this in front of the press because like, I basically don't I would love to not have to commit to a narrative here and to be able to figure it out backstage. That is what I, in his position, and I'm not saying I would have done what he did. I hope that I would have stopped it. But I can see how the train of thought is like, you don't want to say anything that causes anything else. Like, you just want it. You're just like frozen. Like, I just want to deal with whatever this ends up being and not like cause it to be anything. That was not the right move.
No, it was not. It
that
made
was
him
not the right move.
He looked like really weak, I thought, like in a way that was not good. I mean, the whole thing
was very
bad.
I love that man talk from you. He looked fucking weak. He looked
weak. I want a strong leader at the helm of this, okay?
I need an alpha male in charge. He looked weak, bro. He doesn't even lift. Okay, we got to move through this. So, CM Punk leaves with his muffin, I guess. We have a couple of other things. Swerve and Keith come in. A security guard leaves the room at one point. Like, Jericho
goes
in.
Pelting out of the room.
Yeah, I did see
apparently,
that
clip. All the reporters were like, saw it happen, like instantly intrigued. Everyone lost the train of thought, apparently.
Yeah, poor Swerve and Keith.
Oh, yeah.
Who've already had a weird night.
Yeah.
But so I'll just explain, like, this is the report we have now cobbled together from the various.
It's Thursday
some
night.
Crazier than other.
Thursday night at 9 p.m. We thought things would be kind of clarified by now, but they're not really. So,
no.
Yeah.
So, from what we understand, the Young Bucks, accompanied by Mega Preck, I don't know if I'm saying her name right.
Sounds right, Mega Preek.
And Christopher Daniels, so that's the head of legal and the head of talent relations, went down to Punk's locker room and knocked, either aggressively or not aggressively, on his door. There was no answer, and then they either opened the door or kicked it down. So that is from the version of events from Punk and Ace Steel, a man I didn't know before I left for vacation, and now is a main player in this drama.
Really showed up to wreak some havoc very abruptly.
Yeah, but their side, as reported to SRS, they sent in quite a purple prosy little report explaining that the Bucks, like, so worked up, like, barreled down to Punk's dressing room and knocked the door down. And then the entire internet wrestling community, which, like, I'm so sorry, like, we're part of it. And, like, all communities are actually, like, 90% idiots. But, like, this is, like, 99% idiots because of every fucking moron on Twitter who was like, they knocked the door off its hinges. It's right there in the report. They destroyed the door with their powerful legs and arms.
Said it, so that's what happened. And you can easily picture a Young Buck known for super kicking.
The amount of people were like, they super kicked the door down, and how you know is because the thigh slapping as they did it.
And that some of that was comedy, but like, I do want to say to quite a few of these people, read a fucking book and learn a phrase that people use when they're trying to like communicate, like maybe when they're feeling defensive about their psychotic behavior, that it was justified. They were knocking the door down. What was I supposed to do? Not punch them? They were knocking the door down.
Sean Ross Sapp had to put out a report today to be like, just FYI, I've talked to those people again and they've clarified that that's a common phrase and they don't actually mean knock the door down. Like maybe they pushed their way in something. I don't know.
You know, it is a thing where it's like, you know that like we love the Young Bucks and we love Kenny Omega. But they are grown men making their own decisions who don't need people who don't know them to be their defenders. I truly believe that, and like I do want to understand like what actually happened, and I'm not trying to be like I'm not trying to be a stan in this scenario.
Yeah,
but I will say that the language in this report from Punk and Ace Steel was crazy, where I was like, that's not like that just described normally what happened. This is not like the time to be airing your defense of your behavior. Just say what happened. If you were right in the right, just say what happened.
Yeah.
And that the Bucks got a lot of like kind of not a lot of blowback, but like comedy blowback when their side of the story was released by SRS, and everyone's being like, and then the Bucks said, like, we went down to have the politest discussion with him, but unfortunately these like savages attacked us. And it's like, their report just says we went down to talk to him like he said we should. It's like, that's actually how these reports should be written.
Yeah.
It's just like, fine, say what you did. I don't need your insane language that is just going to confuse, again, the morons who populate our community.
Yeah. Well, and I think the thing is, too, is that, like, both sides agree that punch punk punch first.
Punch punch punch.
That
Ace, we've all said this whole time. Punch punch punch.
To be very clear. But yeah, they all agree that like Punk threw the first punch, that Ace Steel threw a chair at Nick, and that Kenny Omega got bitten by Ace Steel as well, possibly while trying to rescue a dog who did not bite him. The human
The dog named Larry did not bite him, but Ace Steel, I've been told, purportedly a man bit Kenny Omega. I believe his defenses have ranged from my wife with a hurt foot was in the room,
so I had no choice but to throw a chair. If like, a woman's
I
present,
thought that Kenny was about to slobber knock her or something.
Again, like,
mommy, please.
I was physically intimidated by the Young Bucks, so I had to punch them preemptively.
It's so funny that as like Young Bucks fans are just having to go online and be like, who could ever be scared of them? They're just sweet little babies. Like, it's like we're like on these threads, like hearting these messages that are like, I met the Young Bucks after a show. They were small and nice.
They're so small. They could fit in your little pocket. They could never hurt anyone.
Trevor Dave was like, imagining the trial where they're just like,
it's so funny,
Your Honor, they wear tassels.
My clients.
I'm just a silly little guy.
But then people, in contrast, being like, Punk showing his UFC matches, I could never hurt anyone.
Oh, Christ in
we
heaven.
Have our
yeah,
fun.
So yeah, but you know, both sides agree. Punk's side, apparently, all we know now as of Thursday is that he felt sure that he was about to get punched.
I'm outnumbered.
Like, yeah, because you would punch someone. Like,
right. Yeah.
This whole thing has been crazy because some of the blowback on the Young Bucks has been like, well, you shouldn't have gone down there in that condition. Like, you should have known this would happen.
That
I think it is fair to say, like, maybe this wasn't a good time to do this. But I will also say that Punk, weeks earlier, had like called Hangman out on the show when he wasn't supposed to. And part of that call out was like, being like, if I call you out and you don't answer, you're a coward. Mm-hmm. So it's like there is some like backstage like machismo shit going on where it's just like you've basically just said like, I can spit in your food and you'll still have to eat it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't think it's necessarily crazy to be like, I'm going to go down there and be like, literally, like, you can't say that.
I honestly like find that whole like line of defense like fairly offensive because it's basically like a look what you made me do defense,
right.
Which is like only white men get to do. Like, I was so
mad,
so you getting in my line of sight, like, of course you got punched. It was just like an act of nature because you provoked me. And like, I just think that's so illegitimate. Like, you're a grown man and you decided to punch someone. No one made you do that, no matter how angry you were.
For sure. I fully agree. And I fully agree. And you said it great. And I just want to clarify so nobody thinks that I was saying
that.
Oh,
yeah. No, I didn't.
That was my second part, was just like, in any workplace, no matter how like mad you are at somebody, like, you actually like can't. You can't have someone in a workplace where it's like, if I go near them, I'm always in danger of getting punched.
Yeah.
Like, and like we've said, it actually is like, in some ways, kind of convenient that we just had this like Eddie Sammy situation where obviously we all think that Sammy is a piece of shit. But
obviously, it's very funny in some ways that Eddie Pie faced Sammy, but of course,
in some ways, it's funny.
Yeah.
But we agreed all amongst ourselves, we were like, yeah, you can't hit your coworkers. And that Eddie also was like, yeah, you can't hit your coworkers.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That was on me, and I can't be pie facing my coworkers, which was a great example of somebody in an adult way being like, I fucked up. And
I took the suspension.
Like, you know,
I'm sorry, I won't do it.
And then
again.
I went and I made up with him, and it's all good.
I
and I won't be pie facing anybody again, no matter how funny it might be.
I know. The other thing, too, is that, like, that, and I think we talked about this offline, too, where it's like, that was a straightforward situation where, like, Sammy said something mean that hurt Eddie's feelings, and then Eddie went and punched him. This was a situation where Punk said something mean and inappropriate, and then he punched them. So, like, I don't know, man.
Like, check and mate, motherfucker. I'll start the fight. And I'll start the fight again.
The other thing that kills me about the, like, why did the Bucks go down there? The thing is that, like, I don't believe that they kicked down the door because they were with, they were with the head of HR and the talent relations.
Which actually shows a lot more common sense than I necessarily would have attributed to the Jacksons.
I know. But, like, if the Bucks were angry enough that they could have done that kind of damage, there's no way that they would have made it out of their locker room. Like,
no.
There's no, like, Christopher Daniels wouldn't have let them go. They were, yeah. I don't really understand
out of
how,
the room or like, through the or through the door. I don't know. I mean,
it's hard to knock down a door. Down, I don't believe anyone at that company could knock down a door except like Wardlow.
We're being tricked into doing the same thing yeah, they're doing on Twitter. Crazy. Nobody knocked down. Nobody kicked down any
I believe
doors.
They knocked aggressively and perhaps yelled outside the door, which
yeah,
is
I think
not
they
illegal.
Probably said things like, "We know that you're in there and you just called us pieces of shit on TV, yeah. So I do think we should talk." I don't know. I think that's fairly reasonable. But guys, Ace Steel's wife was in there. And
he had
to
protect his wife.
So he had to throw a steel chair.
I know, as a woman, what I want in a man is someone who will just start throwing chairs
who,
in my presence.
If I might be in danger, will make sure I am in danger.
Yeah. He's like, is this a fight where you might get hit? I'll escalate it. I'm going to make it a lot worse.
I can make him worse.
So like 6 months ago, I was wearing my AEW hoodie through the office and my IT guy stopped me and started this conversation about wrestling. And he was like lecture. I don't know. He was like mansplaining. It was fine. But I was like, Sean, I got to get out of here. But I was so upset about this wrestling stuff that immediately yesterday I was like, hey, Sean. I jumped on Teams. Sean, what do you think? Anyways, we'll get into it. We're talking. And he goes, well, Ace Steel's a piece of shit anyways. And I go, what makes you say that? And he goes, do you remember that Trump versus Rosie thing on WWE? What? Ace Steel is the guy who played Trump in the actual match.
Oh, my God. That's incredible.
Holy shit. Wait, so, and he's best friends with CM Punk?
Yes.
I guess it's like, when you alienate all your friends, I guess you get left with what you're left with.
You get left with wild men who just bite people.
Like, we're
like a kindergarten class.
This is, I mean, oh, okay. Well,
this was crazy. And I have kept telling people about it because I can't stop myself and it's inappropriate. Like, my hairdresser was like, oh, drama's always fun. Like, thanks for indulging me.
And it's hard because you actually have to get like quite deep to really like, you start and you're like being like, oh, I'll just explain that it was like a really crazy fist fight. And then 5 minutes later, you're being like, so the significance of the art of wrestling is...
Like, Colt Cabana was actually quite influential in the indie scene in the
2010s. This is the context for his relationship with the Young Bucks. Like, I don't know. We haven't even gotten into, like, you've got a lot of people online being like, yeah, we know that the Young Bucks spread these rumors, so this was all justified. Like, A, it wouldn't be even if they were spreading rumors. But B, all of the men's gossip bloggers have said, like, no, we didn't get the story from the Young Bucks.
I know.
Like, and it's like, no, you got it from people who got it from Colt.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
I'm not saying that in any, like, legal sense. No. You know, but, like...
It was clearly coming from Colt.
I've been in a workplace. Some of these people, I'm like, have you been in a workplace? Like, y'all are on Teams being like, this guy was a dick to me. He did this thing. It fucking sucks. Like,
Colt's friends with
the news.
Half the roster. Like, of course. And even Colt didn't tell anyone... Like, it doesn't take a genius to be like, oh, now Punk's here, and they have, like, a longstanding beef, and then Colt gets demoted. Like,
have you ever heard of having two brain cells, and you kind of take them, and you just, like, rub them really lightly together, and, like, it just, you get this little spark. It's called a thought.
I will say that I was really annoyed with Meltzer this morning, because he, like, had a point where he was like, yeah, and I became aware, like, you know, for a couple weeks, Punk has been saying, you know, the Young Bucks said this, and I could have stopped it. Yeah. I could have said, the Bucks never told me that, but I didn't. I didn't say that. And I was like, well, Meltzer, maybe you should have.
Maybe this is Dave Meltzer's fault all around. Although then I think he said, like, it wouldn't have stopped it anyway, which I think, I know. Well, the other, like, funny thing about the whole thing, too, is just, like, if CM Punk came here, he clearly came into this press conference being like, I am going to put these rumors to bed. Like, it is bullshit that everyone hates me because they think I got Colt fired. He did not give a strong impression of someone who did not get Colt fired.
No, it was full OJ. Like, I didn't do it, but if I did, this would be why.
Colt's actually trash.
I can't believe I haven't seen an edit of the If I Did It book. Colt Cabana. I mean, with
I will say, I think we should move on after this, but I will say, as my final thought, which you guys may also have them if you want, I don't think that we've had a very nuanced conversation, nor are we likely to have, about what it means to get somebody fired when one person is like millionaire with a lot of power, big star, and one person is not. I think that we have had a lot of conversations on Twitter.com and the IWC that are just like, there's one way to get someone fired. It's to say, fire that man. And that's not the case. I would say that Punk made it pretty clear by his behavior in this press conference that like, you can say and do a lot of things that imply what you would like to happen, how you might behave if things don't happen.
Someone maybe you're likely they're jeopardizing $1 million gate. I'm not saying exactly what might happen if you do the thing I don't like, but, you know.
Yeah. So to me, that actually is like, again, I don't expect anybody to really have a nuanced conversation about it, but it is quite frustrating to just like watch people be like, yeah, like Punk didn't say fire Colt Cabana, so the Bucks are fucked up for spreading the rumor that he did. And it's like all the gossip bloggers have said they didn't get it from the Bucks, so let's start there. And also, there are a lot of ways to make it very clear to someone like Tony Khan that they are not going to like your behavior as their millionaire big star if they don't do certain things.
Yep, for sure.
It's not... I don't think it's like rocket science to say that. And I'm not claiming that I know what happened behind the scenes, but as with like everything, pretty much every like part of the conversation that I'm seeing about this, I'm just like, could anybody please try to like use your brain to think about different things that might've happened that aren't just a man saying to you, he went into business for himself.
Yeah. Right.
Like you can't just repeat shit that you've been told without like having your own little critical conversation in your own brain about like, what do I think that means? And like, what do I think are the things that could possibly have happened?
Yeah, completely. Yeah. I also like, not to open up more conversation about this, but like, I don't think the MJF getting the chairs was like what set him off. Like, I think he was ready to go off on the Colt thing regardless. But there was a point in the scrum where someone asked a question to Tony that was like, are you concerned that MJF like was getting basically like babyface cheers when he's like such a big heel? And Tony was like, no, you know, blah, blah. Like, he's popular and he came back. So like, it's not surprising. And then Punk jumped in and he said, well, what pisses me off about that is that like these EVPs spreading rumors, you don't mid your top baby face is what he said and make your niche internet audience hate him. So he basically was saying that because of the Bucks behavior, he is not getting over as a face. So that was one of his...
No, it's because of your storyline that you've currently been constructing.
It's because of your personality.
This is exactly the thing where I'm just like, if you are telling me that you on purpose this entire time have been trying to get over as a face, then the problem is not that just that you're a bad person. That still is a problem. The problem is that actually it turns out you're a bad performer.
I was actually
you don't know what the fuck you're doing.
I was actually pretty shocked to hear him say he's the top baby face who should be getting cheered because it's like, everything you've done, like your whole vibe has not been giving that for the past few months, and it has nothing to do with Colt Cabana.
This issue, hey guys, stop the presses, stop. This issue just became artistic.
No, and I mean, I really
shift
think
the
that,
conversation.
Like, his whole like thing, because it's like he was, you know, moderately fine before, like, well, sort of. I obviously got off the Punk train a while ago, but I was very ready to like him. And then, but I think especially since he came back from injury, but before it too, it's like, he does come across with this like gritted teeth, I hate all of you kind of attitude, like just pouring out of him that is not working for like a baby face.
Right. Well, I can see why he would be compelling in a company where he's the underdog and it's clear that nobody respects him. Like, I can see that why that would be appealing. And I also can see why that would be appealing to a certain kind of internet nerd, right?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah,
but in this company in which he's not the underdog, and B, it's fucking filled with nerds,
and
it's not going to work.
And it's 2022.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff has happened, and the way that like we think about a white man with a certain kind of attitude in our culture, like, we're still rewarding them a lot, but I think we're having very different conversations about what their behavior feels like and looks like. Obviously, a lot of men were kind of taking a while to get on board, and I wouldn't say we're all the way there, but like, yes, we're having a very different cultural conversation about a very rich, powerful white man being like, nobody likes me.
Well, and he was punching up in WWE, and he's still punching on his own behalf, so I think to him it feels the same, but punching up versus punching down actually comes across quite differently.
Yeah.
I know we have to move on, but can I do my final thought, which is a completely different piece of line of thinking?
Yes.
Please. In that scrum, CM Punk said the Young Bucks couldn't manage a target. And I say to you, if I don't see a BTE in which the Young Bucks are playing managers of a target, and it's a superstore vibe, they have missed an opportunity.
And you know what? They wouldn't.
They wouldn't.
Whatever the lawsuits are being threatened that are keeping information from me and may keep things like that sketch from me.
I know.
It's upsetting.
I know. And we'll just add again here. It's Thursday, yeah. September 8th. It's a hostage video. It's Thursday, September 8th. Look, whatever comes to light after this, we don't know about, and we will respond to it when we learn it. So we'll be responding. I do want to say, though, that the funny thing about that sketch, though, is it's like, yeah, I'm like not fully convinced that the Young Bucks could manage a target, and also CM Punk couldn't manage a target, and also Tony couldn't manage a target, and also nobody at that company can manage a target.
Targets are managed quite a bit better than AEW, and I have seen that online a lot where people are like, actually, managing a target is hard.
Let's respect
our workers in this country.
I agree. And yet again, it comes back to workers' rights. We knew we'd end up here, everyone. Happy Labor Day. Hangman Adam Page. Okay, so we are going to jump to the aftermath. And we did spend quite a while on that, which we needed to. So that's what it is.
Could have talked about it for three more hours.
Listen, we have a tradition that our pay-per-view episodes always go long. Yeah. Now, are we going long because of the pay-per-view? No. But we still have that tradition, and we're taking advantage of that.
And
the main event of this pay-per-view that took place at the Scrum was pretty exciting, though. We really got to get into it.
And what you guys don't know, actually, is that when we get off this podcast, we're going to be on the Zoom for probably another 3 hours. Like, that's kind
producer
of like
Marjorie
our
is going to be like, oh, okay, guys. Okay, guys, I gotta go to bed.
And we love that for her. We're going to be here for a while. I'm like kind of like getting to the bottom of a mug of wine. I'll probably have another mug on the air. Not on the air. I mean, off the air when you guys are gone. Hey, sorry. So we actually have a lot more that we could say. We're going to move on. We're going to like really try and speed through some of this. So Dave Meltzer told us it'll probably be figured out by Dynamite. No, Dave, it fucking wasn't.
Fucking Dave Meltzer.
So on Wednesday's Dynamite, Tony Khan opened the show. I think it was after one thing, wasn't it? Yeah, he came in very early.
Yes, because I guess it did open the show. The commentary was talking. You're right.
I'm sorry, Leah. I wasn't trying to second guess your thing. I was trying to remember with my own brain what happened. But so Tony Khan opened the show with a little, again, hostage video. Got a lot of booze.
It was crazy.
A lot of booze. It was interesting because I did think. We'll get to it in a second. So. He said that the world title and the trios title would all be vacated. At this point, if you're like really tuned into Twitter, you know that people are threatening legal action. And in fact, now we know that apparently Punk, in the middle of having just punched the Young Bucks, was screaming that he was going to sue them. So it's really hard to know. Some of this stuff is just like, it's comedy to respond.
Allegedly.
It's comedy to try. Allegedly. It's comedy to try to respond
to it. We don't want Punk to sue
it.
Us. Are you for saying something on a podcast?
I'm going to put my assets in my mom's account right now. But so he announced that all the titles would be vacated and that the trio's titles were going to be decided on Wednesday Dynamite in an already scheduled match between Death Triangle and Best Friends, that the world title would be decided in a tournament made up of the top people in the company. So we have former world champions Hangman, Mox, and Jericho, former TNT champions Darby and Sammy, and Bryan Danielson, who needs no belt. He has a garden. And
Bryan Danielson, he looks better and better to me every day.
Bryan Danielson was giving, well, let's not get to it. Okay, so after Tony finished this announcement, I thought it got more, maybe this is just, it's favoritism, I think. I thought that, no, you know what, I won't get into it. So MJF came out, he was wearing a Buffalo Bills football jersey, he was sucking up to the Buffalo crowd, he was complimenting them, he was apologizing for things he said to them in the past. The crowd started chanting, "You were right." What was that about? Did you think just about Punk?
Yeah, I think he was like some of the things I've come out and said here, and the crowd went apeshit being like, "You were right." And I really do think it was like the stuff where he was like, "You're a piece of shit."
Yeah. I mean, you know, we really can't get into the idea of this being work because I think at this point it's so, if you really think this is a work, you're kind of out of your mind.
Yeah.
But it is like, truth is stranger than fiction in a way where I'm like, if it were scripted this way, it would be a really good script.
You like introduce an Ace Steel and then immediately high drama happens around him. MJF's is coming back.
MJF's re-debut gets overshadowed just the way Wardlow's big match got overshadowed 3 months earlier.
That's frankly amazing.
Like, it's like, yeah. It's kind of like, there are patterns in nature, man. There are patterns in nature.
There's a grand design.
There is a grand design. Okay, so then Mock comes out. Gives
this is
MJF
like how the Titanic bragged that it was unsinkable, kind of. It's like sometimes reality just hits it right on the nose.
Yeah, unsinkable, like turning to the future, looking at James Cameron and being like, I see you, babe. Get it done. Get it done. And Mox comes out. He gives MJF kind of a dubious look. MJF has been getting cheered like crazy.
And he's sucking up to them.
And he's like, sucking up.
Yeah. And the crowd has a real hysterical kind of energy. It felt like the inside of my brain where it's like, I don't know what's happening. Like, I feel crazy.
It really felt like they were like, this, it feels so good to see you because we know you and you haven't messed up in the since you've been off TV.
Recently, yeah.
And we love you and you're like old AEW, you're real AEW and we want to do the right thing. And sometimes we're not quite sure what it is, but we're really trying. Mox came out, they booed Mox a little, like, because I think because they were confused. Kind of like a dog where two owners are like, come here. It's just like, I don't know, I want to make everyone happy. And then Mox was like, you're full of shit. And MJF went heel again. And the crowd like so easily was just like, yeah. Okay, boo, 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 boo. So then Mox gave a big speech then, which was like a real clear, like, someone's gotta restore meaning to this title, which now let's make it clear. Punk has twice won and both times has immediately injured himself. So either way, it turns out he was never going to be able to defend the title. But also, like, this time, like, won the title and basically just shat on the whole company. I think, Leah, you said, like, he, like, almost forgot to take the title out of the presser with him. Like, he's just, like, was just kind of like, oh, this fucking thing? Like, it's like, you made it a piece of, like, a McDonald's, like, hash brown wrap. Like, that's your vibe. It's just like, you want me to pick up my trash? Fine, yeah, I'll take
I'm
it with me.
I'm kind of holding this muffin, so I can't really.
I know. It's from Mindy's. They're not open Mondays and Tuesdays. So, but Mox, I thought this was really clear that his directive was, like, not only, like, be like, AEW means something, but be like, this title means something. And if you win it, it matters. And I thought he fucking killed it. I thought he did an amazing job.
Absolutely fantastic. I don't think anyone else could have hit a note that was so, like, let's all get back behind this thing without being, like, cheesy. Like, it was genuinely kind of inspiring. And it was. Like, talking up all the great guys. And it was all guys, I think, in the company who aren't involved in any of this, you know, being like Darby and Brian Danielson.
He put
and Jericho.
Everybody in the tournament over. He put everybody in the tournament over and was like, basically was like, any one of these guys could win this and they would deserve it. Mm-hmm. And like, he also, like, he said stuff that I think on this podcast is like some of the top stuff that we talk about, where he basically was like, when you have the title, you're on a journey with yourself. Like, to have the title is to challenge yourself to be the best version of yourself, to do, like, to be a little better every day, even if other people don't see it. Like, it was stuff that, like, I genuinely talking about now, like, I feel like worked up and emotional because I'm like, yeah, that's what I care about. Like, I don't care actually, like, who has the title. I care that when you have the title, like, the point of the title is that you want to be a better person than you were because you want to deserve the title.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
The title that keeps rejecting CM Punk because he's not good enough for it.
The title Bad and Back Out was just like, Tony, if you put this guy in my mouth again, I swear to God.
He'll actually die.
He doesn't taste good, Tony.
And it really genuinely, like, I mean, early in the week, I was pretty worried, especially with Tony just sitting there in the press conference that, like, and I mean, we still don't know, and I am fairly anxious about it, if, like, the Elite are all going to walk or whatever. But there was a moment where I was like, there's going to be no AEW, there's going to be no podcast. Like, this is all burned to the ground.
Yeah.
Like, I think I felt that way on Monday. So Mox, even though I did feel, like, a little more anxious after the show as a whole because things weren't clarified for me about who's sticking around. But I found Mox's speech to be, like, very reassuring, and it felt
felt very like, oh, he's the center of this company. And
yeah. Oh, the calm center.
I know. Thank God.
That's so mad too. Calm and mad at the same time.
It's like between him and Jericho, like things are going to be okay, which I feel insane saying.
No, we love Jericho. I love Jericho now.
Yeah. I mean, this is a terrible metaphor because Rudy Giuliani is a bad guy. Do you know where I'm going with this? It's a little bit of the vibe of him showing up on SNL to be like, you guys can be funny again. Like, it was that. You know?
No, it totally is. It's like you want someone who seems calm and in charge and like they're going to take care of things when everything is crumbling around you to be like, okay, adults are taking care of this.
Yeah. Yeah.
The calmest man in showbiz, Rudy Giuliani.
And John Moxley, you know?
Just you heard it here first.
Steady. Competent angels.
Oh my God.
Sometime when we've done like a bunch of enough episodes to have like a clip show, like that's what's going to be a clip.
No, but I fully agree. And I think it's like, it actually was an extremely effective 1-2 punch of giving us MJF and then Mox, because it's like, I don't think you can't just have like someone come out and be really earnest right away.
Yeah.
And MJF, I can't quote what he was doing because I don't have any good brain, but he was like both tonally and with the things he was saying, he was doing a really good job of just conveying like, you're my crowd. Like this is like, I know he was saying things like, I'm going to go to WWE, whatever, but it's like his vibe was like, you're my company. I've always been here. Like, you know me, you trust me. Like if I'm here acting like this, do you think things could be bad?
Yeah.
They're going to be okay.
It was very like, we're having fun guys. We're, but like in a very genuine, like we are having fun way.
Yeah. And it was also right that he had to do it because as you said, the crowd's vibe was a little strange where they were like, haha, what do we do?
And
they needed to work that out on MJF before Mox could come out and say everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
So when I turned it on and they were being like, oh, when MJF came back, it was a great pay-per-view. I just felt insane. It was like, I can't believe we're just doing like a normal episode. It's like, Dynamite. Like, so like it was
like, y'all didn't read that Cosmo article about gaslighting.
And they really did it with like alluding to what happened, but not actually saying it, but actually like effectively communicating what they needed to, which is pretty impressive, actually.
I agree. So what I would say is Tony Khan Booker of the Year.
Nothing is being run badly around here.
Tony, get your fucking shit together. Okay. Okay, so let's quickly run through. This was the second match of the show, I think, was the trios match between Death Triangle and Best Friends. So we're going to run through some of the run up to the pay-per-view for the trios situation and then what happened on the show. So on Rampage, Hangman and the Dark Order defeated Best Friend. Was this 2 weeks ago? 1 week?
Today's Thursday.
Almost 2 weeks from tomorrow.
As Leah says here, this feels like 9,000 years ago. There you go. I should have just read the copy I had.
It's 1 week. 6 days ago,
So Hangman and the Dark Order defeated Best Friends in a charming comedy match.
It was lovely.
A few more of those. Orange Cassidy rode Hangman. I did see that. Loved it. Hangman did a great job being silly, fun, enjoyable. Dustin got pinned. We knew he would. That's what he's for.
That's what he's for. Boy.
Then he sits there looking ashamed.
Yeah. Oh, poor me. I love you forever.
I want so bad for somebody to do like a fan vid to Dustin getting pinned a billion times to Crazy Ex-Girlfriends, you stupid bitch.
Wow, that would be extremely perfect.
Oh my God. Okay, well, it's actually
the other vid.
Unfortunately, also at the same time, that's just a fan vid that CM Punk is going to be making in his own mind. Well, he doesn't care, though.
I still do want someone to make what you were joking about, the 70x7 video about Colt Cabana.
I did say that Colt and CM Punk have major 70x7 vibes, but and that someone should make a video.
Funny.
It's set to 70x7, but none of the clips fit the tone of the song at all.
They're all like
comedy
Colt Cabana.
Yeah, I mean,
just the fact that Colt Cabana set all this off. So
every time I see a picture of him, I'm like, man.
It's because it's always the same picture. I like actually saw it again today and was just like, I'm sorry, Colt, but like, you know they gotta do it to you. Where it's just him giving the two big thumbs up, wearing his like Boom Boom Colt Cabana singlet, and it's like, of course that is like, it's like peak comedy to be like, this man just broke wrestling Twitter like for 4 days straight. Okay. So then Dark Order and Hangman advanced to the pay-per-view. Hangman and the Dark Order came out with matching gear. The Bucks came out in their new gear, some beautiful tassels. Kenny, no new gear, but looking like a hot piece of ass.
Had his shirt off. Looked great. Commentary, I mean, Kenny couldn't stop talking about it.
Kenny is booing boobily. He's doing a little like half up thing where I'm just like, this should look dumb, but like, why am I like horned out?
Yeah.
Why am I slimed for Kenny, right?
Yeah, I've become Kenny sexual during his absence. Didn't think it would happen.
I know, because we had like a complicated relationship where with Kenny where we loved watching him, but we were like, I don't know that man's ever had sex. I'll tell you for free. He fucks.
Yeah, but us saying it is, I think, maybe his worst nightmare. It's exactly like with Nick Jackson, where they're He's both like shut what the I'm fuck doing up. With my Look hair. Over there. Matt wants you to say it. Look over there. And more we're just like, Nick looking hot. Kenny, woo-woo.
Kenny's like, I'm in my video game chair with my hair like this and you're sexualizing me.
No, and it's like not even in a, like I'm like not even in like an I can fix him way, like I'm not even like I'll teach Kenny curl care, I'm like he'll never learn. I did just lick my mic, so
okay. Oh, we're getting loose.
Okay, Kenny wasn't wearing his compression gear or brace or anything. It was a whole plot thing. He looked strong, powerful, good, boobing. The main story of this match was that Hangman had split loyalties, so he stopped Alex and John Silver from kicking Matt in the back, and he fist-bumped Nick, and then he was the reason that they lost, because he accidentally buckshotted John Silver.
I really wasn't expecting this to be the storyline. Like, I found it extremely compelling. I was like, oh, these guys have still got it. Like, when Hangman and Kenny, like, first, like, faced off in the ring and, like, made eye contact, like, the crowd was going crazy. I was going crazy. Like, it was working.
Yeah. And then... So the overall, this is the outcome. Now I'm reading this and I'm like, I don't know this because I'm not caught up because I was out in the Whitson days. But it seems like Hangman is in a good place with the Bucks and felt kind of protective of them, but still very upset with Kenny. Kenny's still quite upset with him. I did see some pictures of some beautiful kissing pose from these men.
Oh, yeah. Very intense kissing pose.
Can I just take a moment to say here that if I never get to see Kenny and Hangman Adam Page do kissing pose again because Kenny and the Bucks leave the company, I will kill myself.
And I think, yeah, no, for
I'd
sure.
Be justified.
Yeah. Also, I will say that, like, he definitely was still upset with Kenny. It was very loaded. It felt very like ex-lovers. But he was also, I think there was a point, Leah, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they were like picking on Kenny's shoulder and injuries, and he did like stop them there too. So he was also like a little protective of Kenny. So, which was very, is a great dynamic to be like, don't hurt him, but also I'm mad at him. God. And also, like, he's the only thing I care about.
Well, that's the thing is, like, with the Bucks, it was like, don't hurt them. They're my friends. With Kenny, it was like, I am the only one that can hurt him. I am the only one who is in this, you know.
Well, because he doesn't want to hurt you. Because he doesn't want to hurt Kenny physically, actually. He wants to hurt Kenny emotionally to make Kenny feel how Kenny has hurt him emotionally.
Yeah.
And it's a mind to mind.
Yes.
I can't believe that I just found that little tidbit out on the show, because now I'm kind of having a hot flash.
You do have to watch it. And then, like, when he accidentally buckshot lariated John Silver, commentary was like, this is a weight that Hangman will have to carry with him for the rest of his life.
Like,
and I was
so
like,
many things he does.
Oh my God. Like, yeah, Hangman at his best for me when he's in a real self-loathing place.
You know, two things happening in my brain right now. One is, so I'm like thinking in the future, I'm like, what does happiness look like for Hangman? It's the picture of Nicole Kidman after she finalizes her divorce from Tom Cruise. Who made one of the best movies of the year in Top Gun Maverick. Ask me about it later. And it's also, that's the picture. And then Taylor Swift is singing Clean over the picture. And that's kind of like a fan vid that I'll be making. It's just the song and the picture. But with Hangman's face photoshopped onto Nicole Kidman's.
No, I love that. I love that for you.
The drought was the very worst. Okay. So that all happened a million years ago. During the pay-per-view, Death Triangle was trying to give a promo. The Best Friends interrupted. I believe, I haven't heard this, very funny moment when Pac saw OC and said no.
It was comedy. It was great. He was like talking, and then all of a sudden OC appears and he goes, no!
You know, give Pac a little comedy award. He's never gotten one, and he probably never will again, but...
Perfect.
And so, Leah,
this point. Every single time that the best friends have feuded with Death Triangle, something insane has happened. Greg has hurt his boob.
His titty.
OC broke his neck.
And his now, neck.
And now,
no, his shoulder. His
no, remember when he got knocked out?
Greg broke his neck.
No, no, no. I'm saying, OC, remember when OC got knocked out? Like, he got DDT'd.
Oh, my God.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, yes, okay. He got knocked out.
Yeah. He wasn't out for very long, but yes, I remember. Yeah.
My God. My boy's neck?
I was like, ladies, you were there with me. Anyway,
focus up, bitches. Like, yeah.
Okay, so they try to run in again. What happens? The flesh of Kenny Omega gets bitten.
The delicious flesh of Kenny gets bitten Sean by Ross Ace Sapp. Steel, man. He's like,
and from Punk's perspective, and that's when Kenny ended up bitten.
Can you guys believe that there's like a 90% chance we literally get off this recording and Sean Ross Sapp has said something that we'll wish we'd talked about on here?
We'll just have to keep releasing addendums every day.
My God.
I wish I want to see Nick's black eyes and I want to see Kenny's bite very badly.
I
want to
see the bite.
I want to see
the black eye. I want to see it all. I want to see it all.
I love that the only person who released a selfie literally was Matt. And Matt just being like, I want you guys to know I didn't get hurt.
My I beautiful look beautiful.
The moneymaker is intact, baby. Yeah,
I you looked so cute.
You looked cute. Your dog was cute too. Okay, so the Death Triangle Best Friends match was always planned, but due to circumstances, Tony decided to make it a championship match.
Tony was like, you know what? The girls were really excited, hoping that Best Friends would win the Trios tournament, and then they didn't.
And this is definitely how they wish it would happen.
Yeah, so they were like, let's strip their other faves of the titles and give Best Friends another shot at it, and then Best Friends will lose again.
And I will say, in fairness, like, this... I don't think this is why Tony is making his decisions. I don't think he respects Best Friends really the way that we do. I think he respects them. I think he understands they're important to his company. Like, I give him that. I don't think he understands that, like, some of us, like, would like to experience like them achieving something. Like, we'd like to, like, see that, like, your teenage dirtbag sons, like, can, like, graduate from high school. He doesn't really care about that the way that I do. But I will say, this is not the way I would have chosen for Best Friends to get the titles. And true. I would have been happy to see him, but, like, I wouldn't have felt that good because I was so busy feeling bad about the
Nothing
Bucks getting
stripped.
Was there anything good that was going to happen out of this? I have to say, like, I was in a deep depression from the moment that Tony tweeted that something was going to happen to the trios titles. And so I was sulking like a fucking infant through this. And so Sarah's next to me and Sarah's like fully in, like, this is how Best Friends can still win. And I was like, nobody is winning tonight. Nobody. If they win, it's not going to feel good. If they lose, not going to feel good. They lost. I went into a deeper depression.
It did feel like just piling on to my agonies at that point, even though, yeah, I definitely wouldn't have felt good if they did win, but.
Yeah, I think because I was so aware of of just the specific way in which I wasn't feeling good, I ended up just being like, honestly, I'm glad that I don't have to process the Best Friends winning. And I have to, at another time, I'll revisit the feeling that I have always had of, like, if they don't win some belts eventually, I'm going to KMS again.
Yeah.
So I hope that Tony, please listen. And, like, it's like, we're like back, we're on What We Do in the Shadows. We're trying to, like, hash it out with the genie. Tony, I want Best Friends to win belts in a way that feels meaningful, mm-hmm. well written, and mm-hmm. like they are respected as performers, mm-hmm. and not in a way that I don't like or as a solution to another problem that I'm unhappy about.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think that was very clearly said. I think that wish couldn't go wrong.
Yeah, nothing could go wrong. Okay, so then we'll just, like, get into the rest of the stuff that happened on the show pretty quickly. So we get into the tournament. The first matchup in the tournament for world champion bimbo belt.
The fact that Hangman is still in this tournament because he wasn't there is just so funny. He's just getting picked on for no reason, and he, like, doesn't appear for the fight, and he can just keep going to work.
I know he did a good match, but I was so, like, out of it during this match, and there were moments when I was looking at him, and I was like, how can you make this man fight? When you have suspended all his friends pending investigation of them being brutally attacked by Regina George. And usually we call Matt Jackson Regina George, but he wasn't. It was PM Punk, as I keep accidentally saying. And it's not fair. And anyway, don't make him fight, but make him win, because I stand with Hangman, because it's like bimbo to bimbo solidarity, baby. Like, I'm an empty-headed dumb fuck too, so.
I barely watched this match too because of my feelings, but the thing is that, like, I kept being like, I want Hangman to win because I feel like it would send a message. Like, there's, like, if Hangman won, then it's saying, like, we do stand behind Hangman. We do support him.
And, like, don't.
Yeah, his vision of the company is more important than Mr. I'm trying to run a business here. But, like, for all those reasons, I knew Tony wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I know.
It's like he's got to be apolitical now. Yeah. And it's like, but it's like the both sides-ism of just like, yeah, but Hangman's vision of the company, like, actually is really important to what the company is. Mm-hmm. It actually is.
Well, and because Tony sat there while CM Punk called Hangman a bimbo, he kind of should do a little something to be like, I don't actually sign on for the empty-headed dumb fuck comment. Well, maybe, you know, it'd be nice.
Maybe Tony is writing everybody apology notes.
I'd love a personal apology from Tony.
No, not us. I just meant that. I meant the, no, I guess I did mean the
I think we deserve them, yeah.
I would spit on it.
So you're saying you want to boo him loudly?
I'm going to boo him loudly, yeah. I'm mad. I'm really mad at Tony right now. But I'm not pretending I know what he should do. But no, I mean, it's definitely a hard situation. Right thing.
But I do think he should clarify, because he was sitting there nodding, even though I think he was just nodding because he didn't know what to do.
I know. It's difficult. Nobody addressed any of this anywhere on that episode of Dynamite, to be clear, which makes sense. But also doesn't. Everything does and doesn't make sense. I, like, never want to sound... I've listened to, like, a variety of, like, shows in the aftermath of this where I've just felt like, don't act like you know what the right thing to do here is, because I'm not really sure. But... So I don't want to sound like I think I know what the right things to do are, but it's just like, Tony, do fucking something.
I know.
I do really tiring me out.
It wouldn't surprise me if it is like the lawsuit thing, meaning he's not saying anything publicly, but it just feels weird as a fan to be sort of in this weird limbo.
It feels crazy.
I know. And it's, you know what's really bad that Sarah said to me? That, like, so because Punk got hurt in the match, AEW is required to pay his medical. And so there is a non-significant chance that they will suspend him for the length of his medical, like, however long he's hurt, and then fire him the day he gets medically cleared. And I said to her, I was like, so will we know that that's happening, or we're just sitting there for 6 to 9 months wondering if he's going to come back? And she was like, I'm sure that he would not want us to know. Sit here for 6 to 9 months with a sword of fucking Damocles over my head, I'm going to lose my mind.
Yeah. I know. It's like so frustrating, the injury thing, because then it's like, oh, so the resolution is just pushed off. And like, maybe he'll like leave quietly after the injury and say it's
CM
about the
Punk?
Injury. Yeah, CM
quietly?
Punk. Well.
You think he'll leave quietly? Oh, he's CM. Oh, CM Punk? Quietly?
That's a great point. I retract.
No. You're right.
No,
to
but
say
you know what
it.
I mean.
I'm
it's like it might never be clear that he's fired, and I need it to be clear.
I know. I want him executed on an episode of Dynamite.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just fucking crazy.
I just feel like I need some justice in this world, in this terrible world we live
Life
in.
Ain't fair, baby. That's what I've heard. That's what I hear from the movies. Life ain't fair. I fully agree. I think it's like a little hard for me to focus on, kind of, because I'm like so obsessively like, I need to hear that the Bucks and Kenny aren't going to walk, and I need
that
to
really
hear
the thing
that like this investigation is like, they went into the room and like maybe they shouldn't have, but like it is not, I guess, I would say that going to your coworker's dressing room and opening the door, like, maybe isn't something that, like, someone should start a fist fight over. And that's, like, my opinion.
Yeah. Crazy.
I would love
That's what I want to hear.
If Matt Jackson could just tweet one time and just say, I'm happy. I'm not upset. Everything's okay.
You just
want to
come
back.
I think he might be upset because his brother's got two black eyes from a man named Ace Steel who bit Kenny throwing a steel chair at him. So.
I have enjoyed all
I think he might be upset.
It might be an upsetting day. I have enjoyed all the little subtweets from people. And, you know, Miro retweeted CM Punk's workers' rights tweet with a, like, laugh emoji at the time.
It was
time.
The second time, yeah.
But at the time, people thought he was, like, laughing at, like taking the side against, like, Sasha Banks, which was it was about. But he retweeted it now, so now it's clear that he was being, like, lol CM Punk. Like,
yeah, right. You know,
that's great. Yeah.
I enjoy
you know, Miro. God bless Miro living his best life all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let's speed through some of this. Bryan Danielson won this match, right?
Unsurprisingly. Yeah. It was a good match for the 3 minutes of it that I managed to
Sean Ross Sapp is on there being like, wow, all-time match. It's like, shut the fuck up. I can't even look right now. Sorry, Sean, but
I did feel like, because it was a long match, and it was like, oh, Tony Khan, like, he's just got, like, his pull lever in case of emergency, and it's like, get Mox out there, then get Bryan Danielson and Hangman to wrestle for a half hour and, I mean, and, like, save the show.
Right, and it's like, Bryan Danielson and Hangman can put on a good match. Like, of course that they're the right people to do that, blah, 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 blah.
Fine.
It was just that, like, emotionally, I wasn't ready. There was nothing that I could have watched at that time that would have made me happy.
Like, I'm so sorry, Brian. Get out of the ring. Hangman, come here. I'm petting your hair. I'm saying, like, are you okay, baby? Like, your friends are going to be okay, whatever happens. Like, your friends will be okay. You'll be okay. You're safe here with me. You're safe here. You can say anything you want about workers' rights with me.
I like how we started the show being like, I don't want to stand. And then we just, like, descended over the
course of an hour. It's okay to stand, Hangman.
It's okay. Everybody knows where we stand anyway. I mean, it's not new information.
Look, we've done our best. We're really fighting some fucking idiots, so... It's fine. But I will just clarify. It's like, I don't know these people, whatever. I only know what I hear, and I've heard a lot of some stuff and not a lot of other stuff. So that's, I think you all know what I mean there.
I saw some things with my own eyes. I will say that the internet wrestling community does seem to be largely against Punk and pro the other side. Like, I am infuriated by everyone who has said something that I thought was fucking stupid, but, you know.
That is true. I just think, like, at the risk of our podcast getting political, I do think some of the stuff that's happening in this whole conversation is kind of like the both sides-ism of like this,
like,
is a news article where it's
New
like
York
we
Times.
Have to be like on the other hand, and it's just like, you know, there isn't always an equivalent other hand. And so it's like people being like, well, the Bucks were spreading those rumors. And it's like, it's not just because a man said it does not mean it is true. Yeah. You can't, like, it is both sides, plagues journalism today. It's about ethics and journalism.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, like, well, they must have done something to make him so mad. And it's like, yeah, that's not right, actually.
Some of y'all have never been in a room with a person who is behaving derangedly, and you're like, I don't know what caused, like, this to happen.
I've never met someone with a personality disorder, but you know what? They're out there.
I'm not saying
he has it.
I don't think it's a
mental health issue. I think it's a morality issue. I think it's an issue of ethics.
Ethics and journalism. And it
it's
always
about character.
Been.
It's about
being a
good person.
Okay. Skipping one of these. I have to say it. So Bryan Danielson fought Jericho on the pay-per-view and lost, which I think people were kind of confused about as an outcome.
There were a lot of big heel wins in this pay-per-view. Yeah. Like, I enjoyed the pay-per-view, but I know, like, my friend Jeff was pretty bummed about a lot of the outcomes, so I think there was some mixed reaction. It was a real Empire Strikes Back kind of, like, bad guys winning all over the place.
You don't always like the clip. I mean, it's like, you know, well, whatever. Who has the time? Tony, whatever. Your pay-per-view is whatever. Get control of your locker room, Tony. Jericho cheated to win, and Daniel Garcia was really unhappy, and so he had his big match against Yuta for the Ring of Honor belt, not for bimbos, for boys, the boys' belt. And Jericho refused to come
for
out.
Children.
Him.
He works
for
with children. For little.
I'm trying to run a business and I work with children, SMDH. And so this is like a, this was a great match. I really enjoyed this. A lot of, I mean, like, moves that, for reasons I won't get into, I thought were, like, really cool. Like, just really liked them. And they did, like, really good wrestling, sweet boys. And Daniel Garcia won. He got Yuta to tap out. Danielson came out, and he put the belt on Garcia, who was so, looked sweet. Like, just, like, somebody loves and respects.
Danielson did a little, like, do a little spin for me, baby, spin, move. Baby. Although, Wheeler, did you guys see Wheeler shove Danielson when he came out? There was was like a
did
little,
he?
Yeah.
No, I didn't interesting. See that.
Yeah, he gave him a little like, get out of here, dad.
Someone said on Twitter that it's like, I think it was Trevor Dame actually, that like, it's not a bad plot to have you to end up doing a switcheroo and going over to Jericho.
Yeah.
And he was like, I want Yuta and Daniel Garcia to be sweet brothers. And they did do a little like handshake where I thought Yuta did like, it was like a tired kind of like, yeah, I give you the respect kind of thing. But then he was like kind of slumped in the corner at the end. Yeah, of course I'll fucking watch it if they switch teams and then Wheeler Yuta is dressing in a little splunky leather cap and like trying to be a sports performer.
Trying to be
and
then a
it,
heel.
And then eventually they have to have another match to work it out and they like kiss on the mouths or something. I don't know. Yeah, I'd watch it. Yeah, I'm not like, my heart is not made of stone. I'd watch it and I'd like it. So, and I do kind of think like it's like kind of a fair situation where it's like Daniel Garcia had to suffer that. So I don't know, Yuta, maybe you do too.
Yeah.
And then maybe you'd appreciate your original fathers a little more. Mm, yeah.
When his original fathers made him dress up, it was in a different way. I heard that. I know that it made it sound way more perverted.
I literally don't even know what you're referring to.
The little matching outfits, like the shiny like jumpsuits.
Wrestling outfit.
Yes, of course. It made it sound like I thought that Dustin was making you to do porn. Yeah, I heard it.
Well, yeah, not just porn, but like role play porn. Like milk.
Okay, producer Marjorie, can you just roll it back? All of that back.
Roll it back.
The whole show, producer Marjorie.
Jericho came out at this ending too with like the most betrayed look on his face. Like
that was face acting. Yeah.
I was impressed. Jericho this week has just really been doing his all-time best work backstage and on stage.
He got a special reward from Sean Ross Sapp for having a great demeanor during the fight.
It is amazing how all these men who write about wrestling for a living cannot string together a normal sentence.
Like, I want to say that it's like if it cost me an extra dollar a month, I subscribe to Fightful. Sean, I pay for your product, okay? So let's start there. If it cost me an extra dollar a month, I would pay it if it meant that you could hire an editor, okay? So we don't have it. It's a skill that people don't appreciate. So there aren't enough jobs around. So it's like you would be supporting like a person, a small business.
LLC. Yeah.
A freelancer. And you could really use it because I read a lot of sentences and it goes for Meltzer too. It goes for all of you. I'm not leaving anybody out. You all can't write. Even though you're great at getting the scoops. I read a lot of sentences where I think like, wow, I'd love to know what that meant. I'd love to know what
for
that
Meltzer,
meant.
You've got to be at the top of your mental game to read a Meltzer paragraph. Like you've got to really, it's like,
it's kind of like
I study dead languages.
Game, but also you got to get in his mind.
Yeah. It's like, it takes all of you. It's like body, mind, soul, spirit. You've got to be all there to get to the bottom of what that sentence says.
You open your Observer newsletter. You're like, I am fully like mentally, physically, spiritually, sexually present.
You know, the funny thing is that Sarah says that like most of the time listening to the podcast is just as bad because like he needs to be edited with his mouth too.
Dave, hire a mouth editor. Support a small business.
We're back to porn.
She's always like, sometimes you like hear him go off on a tangent and you're like, what does that mean? And then he gets in trouble because like Reddit will be like, I think he said something offensive, but I'm honestly not sure.
You know how
maybe that's a great defense for a podcast. Like if no one can tell what you're saying, you can't get canceled.
You know how like we have often been like, oh, we just need a mute button back on our microphones. It's like Brian Alvarez needs the mute button for 4 days.
Just like, yeah, he just keeps nodding, just holding it down.
Just cut it out in post. Just get it rid of it in post.
I've been listening I know we have to move on, but I've been listening to the episodes more than I ever usually do. And their dynamic is so fucking funny because Brian will be like, he'll say something and he'll be like, so I'd like to talk about, and Dave will just be like, wait a minute. The thing is, and Brian's like, you can have a turn in a minute.
It's so funny because I have not listened to that many, but I feel like everyone who listens to episodes like wants to deep discuss what's going on with them, which is like very funny.
Every day I get closer and closer to giving in, but it's like a lot of listening. I mean, I Trevor Dahm was live tweeting Meltzer this morning, and it just took him like 2 hours to get through what seemed like it could only be like 20 minutes of content.
It's pretty dense because you have to keep pausing and rewinding to be like, I don't know what that meant.
It's a pretty advanced text.
It's a dense text. Yeah. It takes some
for everyone
skills to interpret for sure.
We don't really have the time to get into more stuff. So let's just end
with
this.
We got
to
talk about the Acclaim, though,
let's end
right?
with yeah. this. Yeah. yeah. So yeah. Swerve and Our Glory at the pay-per-view defended their title against the Acclaimed. I'm going to let you guys take away with what happened here.
I am pretty sure that this reaction of the crowd absolutely stunned everybody in that room, including yes. the crowd itself.
Like, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
The vibe was very much like, oh, hell yeah, this is a fun team. And then like, I want to say like a third of the way through the match, they were like, if the Acclaim doesn't get the belt, I'll fucking kill them. I'll kill Swerve and my glory.
Kill
I'll
everyone kill in this arena.
Yeah. I'm fucking taking this down.
And then myself.
Well, the thing is too, is like really early on. So they were doing the like bask in his glory chant. And then pretty soon, like within the first 5 minutes of the match, they started singing, oh, scissor me daddy. Like yeah. that, which was yeah. very funny. Yeah.
Okay,
very
I
clever.
Didn't appreciate when this was written out, what exactly happened. So that was transformative for me. Thank you.
Yeah.
And I need you to understand that through this entire time, Billy Gunn is standing there like, I don't know what's happening, but of course I love it.
He's was dancing along.
Yeah, yeah. He was conducting
the look on his face was totally like, this is the weirdest thing that's ever happened in my life, but I think I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think the crowd got so electrified by doing that, which was so funny and like clever, and they're participating that they just like went, like they yeah. did many different scissor chants.
Oh, yeah.
It yeah. was. It was an experience.
I know this is taking us back to our previous topic, and I'm so sorry, but I actually do think we should say in the podcast that one of the things going on with CM Punk was that he was really mad that nobody will take his advice in the locker room. And I do think we should just make our collective point, Lee. I think you said this first, that it's like Billy Gunn is a good example of someone who like, clearly, like we've seen him do these interviews where like he's like, this is the advice that I think like the younger guys should take. And I don't think that like, the advice was ass boy gimmick, ass dad gimmick, but the advice was have a character and have a plot line. Mm-hmm. And when they said it's ass stuff, he said, I'm there, babes.
I'm on board I'm with
happy.
It.
You went with it. Yeah.
It's Let's real, go.
It's very
and good
interesting.
For Billy Gunn and yeah. a little proof that, you know what, maybe it's like about kind of like meeting people where they're at because they have something to bring to the conversation
yeah.
too.
Yeah. And I think actually Jericho is very good at this, at being like an older guy who's like done a lot and come up, but is very like open to new things and like ready to do like a new gimmick, like to put
Almost
Orange Cassidy
open,
over.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, he's ready to pick up anything, but it's like good yeah. for him. He's trying to adapt, you know, he's yeah. like,
well, and I think he's like really attuned to the crowd. Like yeah. there was an episode of Talk is Jericho where he was talking to me. He's like, I face turned cause I had to against MJF, but there was a point where I came out and I was like, I could hear that the crowd being like, nah, I don't think so. And he was like, it's time for me to turn. Like, he's so attuned to what's going yeah. on with the crowd. Are we Jericho stands now?
I know. Yeah, I think I have been ever since we watched that. Did you see? I didn't even read the article about it. That Jericho, like today, being like, Jake Hager got a contract extension.
I
by
did
the way,
see
Jericho,
that.
Right now. Okay, whatever.
Of
if that's your
people.
Emotional support, Jake Hager, so it's fine.
I know, but I do think that attuned to the crowd and sort of willing to shift. And like in this match with the Acclaimed, where the crowd suddenly was like so on the Acclaimed side, it was really interesting to watch Swerve and Keith Lee because they really adapted in the moment and they started like doing
them.
Heel stuff. Like they're getting booed and they just like went with it, which we yeah. saw, you know, Red Velvet do
yeah.
too. But I like am always so impressed with people who can like be yeah. like, oh, this is what we're doing. Like that they're in an improv sketch
yeah.
with the
yeah.
crowd
right.
and they're willing
right.
to go with it.
Right. I mean, not to skip ahead, but like on Dynamite this week, like Max Caster comes out and he's like about to do his rap and Swerve interrupts him and the fucking crowd, I thought that they were going to kill Swerve. I thought they were going to murder him. And the look on his face, it was perfect. It was smug. It was like, mm-hmm. oh, you mad? you big mad at me right
yeah.
now?
Yeah.
And so I think he's like thrilled to like turn heel, honestly.
He has good yeah. heel energy yeah. anyway, because he has great. Like, I'm in it for me and like I'll do what I gotta do at any given yeah. moment.
And it's sort of
always has
a little like impish quality yeah, too, is. Which yeah. is like enjoyable in
That's
a heel.
It's like what we like in the Young Bucks. Like, yeah, we're just yeah, like, it's a little true. Bit self aware, you know?
It's right. true. On like a heel, like, it, on a heel alignment chart, I do think Swerve and the Bucks are like in the same realm.
Yeah. yeah. For sure.
My brother was saying while he was here, because Swerve is a Seattle guy, so he like saw him at indie shows like back in the day before he was big, and he was like, yeah, he comes out and there are people where you're like, oh yeah, they're like gonna go far, basically. It's yeah. like, yeah, this is the most charismatic man on earth, pretty much.
I love
it
that.
It must be so funny though for Swerve to be like, I mean, he's a really good wrestler and it's clear that like he's been around for a long time and he has a lot of experience. But can you imagine, like, you're in the middle of your title run and all of a sudden people are like, oh yeah, you're going to have to give up the belts to the scissor freaks because the crowd is demanding
who are,
it.
Who are not going to know what to do with them. I mean, it's like, please give me an acclaimed, like, tag team belt championship reign where they're just like, they caught the bird or whatever and they're just like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, what am I supposed to do with this thing? It's so funny to have watched them come from like dark wrestlers and then being like, everybody loves the Acclaimed every week until they manifested it, and now everyone does love the Acclaimed yeah. and scissoring. Which, people were scissoring so enthusiastically in that crowd.
This is the kind of thing I think that, I mean, I don't know if it's that specifically, but the kind of thing that Meltzer was talking about where there's people who are like getting advice not to do stuff and they're just yeah. like, no, I just did it a billion times and people kept, and like Orange Cassidy, like, and people yeah. said it was never going to work. And then eventually like it worked and it's my business if it doesn't always work, but it's yeah. my right to try.
I think of all the time that interview I watched with Adam Cole where he was like, I just kept saying Adam Cole, baby. And yeah. eventually like on the 500th time I said it, yeah, they started saying it with me.
You know, we've said it before and we'll say it again. The thing that like sometimes we forget about wrestlers is like, to be a wrestler, you gotta be fucking crazy. You gotta be fucking yeah. crazy and you gotta yeah. be kind of shameless.
Yeah. yeah.
From minute sure. one, pretty much.
Yeah. yeah. You're like, I'm gonna look like an idiot. All my friends yeah. will think I am uncool. I'm gonna come out here in spandex and do the dumbest thing you've ever seen.
Yeah. And like maybe some of the like the, kind of the problem that we do sometimes identify is like someone doesn't feel shameless enough. Like yeah. you don't get the sense that you're like, I would do this if every person in this room got up and left because they yeah. think it's that embarrassing. Yeah. I would keep doing it. And like yeah. you yeah. need to kind of feel that from someone yeah. to be like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah that sort of like just pure id, like I am here. I am not kidding around. Like I am not winking, you know, like I'm serious. I mean, not winking, you know,
but
what I mean? But
you know, I know what you mean.
It's like I'm going hard. I'm not holding back. I'm not being yeah. like, too cool for this.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we don't have time to talk about anything else, I think, unless somebody was really dying to say something.
We are at 95 minutes, I think.
You know what? Enjoy it. Enjoy
yeah,
it.
Hell yeah.
And I deserved it because I was gone for a long time. And like I said before, this podcast is where I get to IRL, I mean, on Zoom, talk to my friends about wrestling, which is one of my favorite things. Mm-hmm. So I love
it's about friendship, just like AEW. Yeah.
It's about friendship. And I love our listeners and I respect you, but also like you're kind of not the point for me. And I hope you enjoy my enjoyment of getting to talk to my friends every week.
And I mean, as much as me and Anne have enjoyed making coup jokes, you can't go anywhere ever again. That
I'm
was
not
too
to
much
go to
work, and
Australia.
I didn't like that. So no more.
We were very stressed little golden retrievers.
Oh my beautiful golden retrievers. Well, we're all stressed together now, and next week, maybe we'll know something about the situation at AEW, but maybe we won't.
Maybe in 6 to 9 months, we'll be doing an emergency podcast.
And I'll
we'll
say
give,
right
give
now.
Birth to the baby that is whether or not CM Punk got fired.
If the Elite walks between now and next week, maybe we'll just never hear from us again. We will be in the ocean.
We'll say a tentative goodbye to you. This could be our last fight.
I know. Please, Matt Jackson, if you're listening, just give us a sign.
Yeah,
hit me, baby. One more time.
This podcast is going to end up being about romance novels or Law and Order SVU or
we do
know.
We talk about lots of stuff. You let us know if we rage quit wrestling. What would you like to hear us talk about? Everyone's just going to be like, nothing. Bye.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? The thing is, we'll talk about something anyway.
We can't help
it. Because we love to talk. On that note, I've been Allie.
I've been Anne.
And I've been Leah.
And this is Tunnel Talk. Our show is produced by Marjorie Voinovich. Our theme is by Chris Gorkin. You can find us on Twitter at Tunnel Talk Pod via email at tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. And come back next week. I will never go anywhere again.